Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
In the Bible, we find a list of virtues, nine fruits of the Holy Spirit that followers of Jesus are to be identified by as we start living lives that are connected to Jesus and rooted in the Word of God, the Bible. And so the virtue that we're looking at today is this virtue known as gentleness. And of all of the nine fruits of the Spirit or virtues of the Spirit, gentleness is one that's probably the most misunderstood. I'm really grateful to our friends over at Lake Point Church and to Micah Davidson. And the words we're talking about and sharing today and in this series are from them. And man, they've really helped me to get my head around what it means to be gentle from a biblical perspective. Gentleness, it's probably not the word that you're going to hear in the boardroom this week. Gentleness is probably not a word that you're going to hear if you go to a leadership seminar. However, gentleness is one of the expressions that we see in this list of the nine virtues are nine fruits that the Spirit of God has been developing in us. We've been studying this over this first semester of 2017, and in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, it lists out the nine, and it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. That's one of the nines. And I'm just telling you, this is a tough one for me. Gentleness is a tough one. I mean, who really wants to just sit around and talk about gentleness? Do we have any hunters in here, any deer hunters at all? Yeah, hey, there's a couple right there. At deer camp this year, did you sit around and talk about gentleness? No deer camp in the history of all deer camps has had a conversation that made its way to gentleness. It just doesn't happen. I mean, that just is not a subject, particularly that guys talk about a whole lot. I mean, if you look up the word gentleness, you're going to see words that describe it, such as soft, sweet, calm. Okay, if you were to look the word up, gentleness, on a Google Images search, you're going to get pictures that are associated with it, like butterflies and flowers and nature walks. And yes, Lucy, sleeping cats. I told Lucy we were going to have some sleepy cats. She's like, hey, all right, man, good deal. Awesome. And see, we start thinking about gentleness and talking about gentleness, and some of us may be going, man, that's not me. That's not who I really want to become. I need to kind of reject gentleness because, man, you may be sitting there going, if I become soft, if I become sweet, if I become associated with butterflies and nature walks and sleeping cats, how am I ever going to get ahead in this world? How am I going to go into surgery and just go, oh my goodness, I've just got to be gentle? No, man, you want to be focused and ready to go this week. You go, surgery? Yeah, we've got some doctors in here. And I'm going, man, I don't want my doctor to be coming in thinking about butterflies and sleeping cats. I want him coming in laser focused on whatever it is that he needs to remove from my body. And whatever you're thinking about, where you've got to go, man, you may be going, I don't need to be gentle. I need to be strong. Well, time out. Hold on. Be careful before you start checking out on gentleness. Because if you think that, and if you're kind of bent that way, then in a sense, you're beginning to move toward a posture that says, I really don't want to be like Jesus in this part of my life. And you go, why would you even say that? Well, turn with me over to Matthew chapter 11. I'll show you. Matthew chapter 11, Jesus talks about gentleness. It's on page 816 if you're using the Bible in the row in front of you. If you don't have a Bible, come see me in the Home Life Center. When we're finished this morning, I'll give you a Bible for your very own. So turn over or turn on your Bible to Matthew chapter 11. And man, we're going to see Jesus valuing gentleness in this chapter. So it would benefit us as people who are trying to follow him and be his disciples for us to take a closer look at this word and this attribute that the Holy Spirit of God really desires to produce in our lives. Because here's the truth. Our relationships are really in desperate need of more gentleness. They really are. And Jesus, as we're going to see, describes himself as gentle in this text. And as followers of Jesus, you and I need to begin to become more and more like Jesus as we abide in him and in his word. So in Matthew chapter 11, look in verse 28. We'll just look at a couple of verses this morning. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and here's what he says in verse 28. Come to me. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. What does that mean? That means align your life with mine. Let's do life together. Harness up next to me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am, what does Jesus say? I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Man, that word that Jesus uses right here to describe himself as gentle, it's that same word that we read a few moments ago from Galatians chapter 5. That's an expression of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. And I believe that one of the reasons that we may kind of push back when we start talking about gentleness and thinking, is that really who I want to become? Is because we don't really fully understand what this word means. I mean, is it calming? Yes, it is calming. Does it have a soft side to it? Certainly it does. But in the first century, when a person heard this word gentle, they had a different word picture than maybe we do. I mean, when a first century person heard the word gentle being talked about, the image that came to their mind was not a butterfly, it wasn't a flower, it wasn't a nature walker sleeping cats. Rather, the image that came to their mind was this image. It was the image of a wild horse, a strong and powerful stallion, and the taming of that stallion. Man, that's a powerful image, a powerful metaphor. This strong horse that before it becomes tamed and kind of reined in, it can go wherever it wants to go. It can do whatever it wants to do. No restraints. But then if this horse would just trust someone to come alongside it, to nurture it, to care for it, to talk to it, to harness that character, to put a saddle and some reins on it. Man, all of a sudden, harnessing that energy, harnessing that wildness, power. It's powerful. Kids, draw me a picture this morning of a wild horse and you sitting on it, holding the reins, harnessing its power. That's a picture of gentleness that God wants you to remember. When you're finished drawing the wild horse with you riding it, harnessing it with the reins, put it on my board out in the Home Life Center. I want to see your artwork this morning. And Jesus says, hey, let me teach you. Let me show you. Let me show you what it looks like to harness your wildness, your power into a focused and learned and trusted gentleness. Let's do this thing together. Let's do this thing in community. That's what Jesus is talking about here. Let's focus your power. Let's focus your wildness. Let's get together. Let me teach you how to harness it for good and for my glory. That's what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 11, 28 and 29. That's what Paul is talking about when he speaks of gentleness in Galatians chapter 5. Now, with that word picture in our minds, here's my favorite definition of gentleness. You might want to jot this down and think about this more this week. Gentleness is the power of your potential under God's control. Let's take an out loud note together on three. One, two, three. Gentleness is the power of your potential under God's control. See, the only way you and I are ever going to reach our full potential is for you and for me to surrender our lives to the Lordship of Jesus and to trust Him to control our lives. And to take Jesus up on the invitation that we just read a few moments ago from Matthew 11, 28, when he starts off, "Come to me. Come to me." You may be sitting there going, come to Jesus and do what? Give him control. Give him control of your life. Give him control of your past. Give him control of your present. Give him control of your future. If you do, what you are doing when you come to Jesus and you position yourself under his lordship, what you're doing, you're positioning yourself to have the Holy Spirit begin to produce and form something in you called gentleness that is a fruit of or a virtue from the Holy Spirit. And it is a virtue of one who has given control of your life to Jesus. And gentleness is the power of your potential under God's control. And your potential will be reached only when it's under God's control. Otherwise, you'll never reach it. You'll never become who God created you to become. And so we start asking ourselves as we're thinking about gentleness, and maybe you're going, am I a gentle person? Well, to ask that question is really to ask this question. What areas of my life are really under God's control? What areas of my life truly are under God's control? And I want us to talk about four areas before we head out this morning. Some areas in our lives that must be under God's control so that our potential can be reached and we can take that yoke of Jesus upon us and come together with Him and live the life God always designed for us to live. And so the first place that we want to look at this morning that's got to come under control of Jesus, if we want to find rest and become gentle, we've got to do this when it comes to our character. Our character, you might want to jot that down, character. Character can really make or break our relationships. Think with me for a second about character traits that you really like in people's lives, people that you know. What are some of those things, those character traits that come to your mind? Maybe it's things like somebody who's humble or somebody who's honest or somebody who lives with integrity, somebody who's got a great sense of humor, somebody who's really compassionate. Those are some of the characteristics that come to mind of those people that you really like to be around, people that you like to hang out with. But if I asked you, okay, now make a list of some negative character traits, some negative attributes. What kind of things come to your mind? Maybe some things, some words like, man, people who are irresponsible, rude, arrogant, somebody that's got a temper. Maybe he's a gossiper or she's selfish or disrespectful. Those kinds of words. Those are character traits of people that we don't really like to be around. And if we're honest this morning, the truth of the matter is we all have some character issues. We all have some character traits in our lives that need some development, that could use a little softening in some places that maybe it's really, really sharp and cuts other people in relationships. And Jesus invites us to come to him so that we can learn, so that we can develop character traits that are under God's control. And when you read through the Bible, you read through the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see that Jesus has friends like Peter and James and John, and they come to him, right? Are those guys perfect, yes or no? No, they are not perfect. They've got a lot of work to do to become who God wants them to become. I mean, you think about a guy like Peter. You think about a guy like Peter, and Peter was always putting his foot in his mouth. Peter was this impulsive guy. He's kind of brash and arrogant. He said things before he really thought about them. Man, he's got some development still to do, yeah? Absolutely. You think about guys like James and John. They had some real character issues. I mean, they were characters who had some real issues. They were the guys that were always arguing about who was going to be first, who was going to be the greatest. In fact, over in Luke chapter 9, we see Jesus, he's headed with his disciples. He's going toward Jerusalem. He knows that in Jerusalem, he's going to die for the sins of the world. He's going to the cross. But on his way, he's tired. He needs to rest for the night. And so along the way, we see where he stops in this village. And the people of the village come out of the village and they go, "Man, Jesus, we don't want you here and we don't want your friends here. You need to move along." That's basically what they said. And then in Luke 9, verse 54, James and John pipe up. See if you think they're real gentle. And when his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" No sleeping cats there. Have you ever felt that way, though? I mean, surely you can relate to James and John, right? I mean, something goes on at the office, something goes down at the homeowners association meeting, something goes down in your neighborhood or at the pool when the pool opens up and you're at the pool and you're like, you just kind of want to call fire down and whoo, just nuke them right there. "I'll take care of this. Who cares if they're all going to die? We're going to justify this right now." Lighten up a little bit. Take a deep breath. Why? Because you're out of control. And gentleness is about being under control, under God's control. And we just see in this scripture that James and John, man, they're anything but gentle. Look what Jesus says to them in the next verse, verse 55. Jesus turned and rebuked them. What is he saying? "Guys, calm down. Calm down. Let me get a hold of the reins here for a second. Let me pull back on your wildness. Let me pull back on your passion. Let me pull back on your unharnessed strength and get you back on track. Get you back under my control." Jesus did that with his friends that we see in Scripture. Don't you think he's going to probably want to do that with us in some areas? Yeah, absolutely. Why? Because we're all works in progress. Every single one of us, just like his disciples. And so, don't give up on your kids. Kids, don't give up on your parents. God's still working on us. Don't give up on your friends. Don't give up on your relationships, because Jesus never gives up on us. He never gives up on us. Just be honest where you're at when it comes to character traits. And come to Jesus and let him teach you, let him develop in you a gentleness that you can begin to exhibit in your own life. Think about your life for a second. What character traits in your life need some attention, need some development, need to really come under God's control? I invite you to do a little homework today. Take a piece of paper and just write down some character traits that need to come under God's control. I mean, physically write those down and then begin praying this week. God, would you help me in this area? I want to bring this area or that area under control. It's not a positive trait. It's a negative trait. Some of you are sitting there right now going, I can't think of anything. If you're married, ask your spouse. Kids, ask your parents. Ask your friend. They'll help you. They will help you figure out what you can begin praying about bringing under God's control. Because we all have these character traits that need God's help. And when we begin to have those areas change as God develops them, our outlook on life begins to change. We begin to see things a bit differently. And when our outlook changes, what happens is we become more nurturing. That's the second thing you might want to write down. Nurturing. We begin to see other people's needs. We begin to start to care about where they're at. We begin to nurture them a bit more in our relationship with them. Why? Because they matter to God. Because God created all people in His own image. And thus, all people have intrinsic value as God's image bearers. Did you know that's your vocation in life? Is to bear the image of God wherever you go. That's your true vocation. Wherever you're at school, at work, at home, to be a vocational image bearer of the one true God. Letting other people see who God really is as you become more and more like Him. And how we nurture people and nurture the people that God allows us to be in relationships with, man, that begins to change our outlook and how we nurture, how we encourage, how we bless. All that is folded into being a person who's becoming gentle. I know some of the men in the room right now are thinking, wait a minute. You are losing me. That nurturing thing sounds more like what my wife should be about, what some of the ladies in the room should be about. I'm a man. I'm supposed to fix things. I'm supposed to do things. I'm not so much of a nurturer. But think with me for a minute, Dad. Think with me if you're thinking those thoughts. Think about how powerful moms really are. Man, let me give you an illustration that might get you back on track with nurturing leading to gentleness. Any guys in the room, you don't have to raise your hand, but maybe you've seen that show that came out last year, The Revenant, with Leonardo DiCaprio. You know, I kind of like shows about mountain men that are out there and they're doing their thing. Man, this was about an explorer. Leonardo DiCaprio was this explorer who's out in the wilderness. There's this one scene that the movie's kind of known for, and we're not going to show it right now because we'd all need to be in therapy after that, but it's when this big mama bear comes out and he's just going, it seemed like it took forever for this scene to end, and it was just gruesome, and he's really, it's hard to watch, seems to go on forever. If you saw the movie, do you remember why that attack happened? If you didn't see the movie, let me tell you, it's because there are these two little cubs that come out from the bushes, and Leonardo's character knows what's coming next. It's mama bear, and he cocks his rifle, he cocks his gun, and he's trying to find, but she's on him before he can even aim and fire. And she is just all over him, protecting her cubs, then leaves Leonardo DiCaprio for dead in the woods. And she goes back playing with her cubs and just kind of doing their thing. Why'd I tell you that? That's nurturing. Mama bear coming out and protecting the cubs. Strong nurturing, powerful nurturing. And gentleness is powerful. Guys, hopefully you're back on the bus with me, but gentleness is powerful. And what gentleness can do when you begin to intentionally nurture people and nurture your relationships can be a powerful thing. Because when you're nurturing, like Jesus is talking about nurturing in Scripture, There's great power that comes in that gentleness. Listen to how Paul talks about this power of nurturing in gentleness. You might just want to jot it down. Look at it on the screen with me. It's from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. It says this, "Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ, but we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children." What's Paul talking about here? Paul's saying, we could have come down on you. We could have demanded from you. We could have reminded you of all our credentials, all the authority that we had. But, Paul's saying, we chose a different way. We chose a different path. Paul's saying, I could have gotten some things done if I just demanded it of you. But Paul knows he can get to the same end result by going the gentle route, a nurturing route. Opening his heart and developing and nurturing those relationships with the people that he's trying to lead. And sometimes you and I need to step back and be a bit more gentle, a bit more tender in our approach. Are clear expectations needed for the people that we're trying to lead? Absolutely. Sometimes you need a kick in the pants to get you going. But many times gentleness is much more productive as you're nurturing those relationships. Nurturing and gentleness, man, that's a force if we can step back and realize, man, there's really power when it comes to developing those relationships. Can I just confess to you, this is an area in my life that I don't do so well in. When it comes to nurturing, I'm not that great of a nurturer. God needs to work on that in me. This is an aspect of gentleness that needs some help, some development. I mean, as a dad who tries to be involved in my kids' lives, who has expectations for my kids, I don't expect my kids to be perfect, but I do expect my kids to do their best. I do expect to begin seeing these 9 attributes in my kids' lives develop, because I know they're both followers of Christ. Allison and I both had the opportunity to lead our kids to Christ. So I know the Holy Spirit is growing these 9 attributes in them. And at the same time, I know I, as their dad, I need to be more gentle many times. I need to nurture better. As a man who is a leader of people, who's bent toward discipline and working hard and expecting the people on our staff who work alongside of me and we work together, I've got some demands from them, and I can be demanding at time. I can be harsh at time. I can be not nurturing all the time. I need God to help me take a step back, put that part of my life under God's control, and go, I need you to help me here. I need you to grow me here. And as we begin to nurture and become more nurturing in our gentleness, what we're also doing is providing a space for talk. Providing a space for talk. Talking is that place in our life that really needs to come under God's control. Our words so desperately need to be under God's control. I already see some people kind of elbowing one another going, you need to listen, this is for you. Well, it may be for that person, it may be for you too. Coming under God's control. I mean, what you say, how you say it, when you say it, the tone of your voice, the timing of the conversation, all needs to be under God's control. Can I just confess? I need help there too. I'm not perfect there either. But gentleness blesses a relationship with words. Paul says this about our talk when he writes in Ephesians 4:29. He says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Sometimes I say things and I'm like, God, why'd I say that? I'm better than that. That doesn't edify anybody. And God's still at work in my own life, in my own mouth. Our talk must come under His control. Moms, dads, kids, spouses, let's ask ourselves this question based on this verse. Do most of our words help people or hurt people? Do they help or hurt people? Are our words building people up, or are we more likely to tear people down? The scripture talks about how the words of a gentle person are incredibly powerful. May our words be gentle. May our talk be under God's control. And that leads to a final area that needs to be under God's control, and it's this. It's our response. Our response. How are you and I going to respond? What are we going to say to other people? When somebody frustrates you, when somebody angers you, when somebody cuts you off, don't say that first thing that comes to your mind. Or the second thing. Take a deep breath. And before you react, before you fire back that email, before you post, stop. Slow down. Think. Pray. Measure your response. Remember what Proverbs 15:1 says. A gentle answer quiets anger, but a harsh one stirs it up. And friends, you can't always control what, when, or how somebody's going to say something to you, but 100% of the time, you can control how you will respond. 100% of the time, you can control how you will respond. And a gentle person lets God control how they're going to respond as they stop, as they think, as they pray, and as they seek God. God, how would you respond in this moment? And the way that you respond with your words, with your actions, with your posts can be a force for good. And if you will let Jesus lead every relationship of your life, He will begin to change the world through you. I want you to listen to this final verse that I came upon this past week. It's from the Message, Eugene Peterson's translation of the Bible. Listen to how he talks about gentleness and talks about our lives and what God wants to do in us. From Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, it's on the screen. Look at this. It says, God can do anything, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us. His Spirit, check it out, His Spirit deeply and gently within us. Gentleness is the power of your potential under God's control. And gentleness will help you win when it comes to relationships. I want to ask Zion Gosselin to come, and he's going to close our time. Before he shares with us, I want you to hold your hands out like this. I want to give you a blessing this morning. If there's any way I can help you, any way I can be praying for you, any way I can help you take a next step, please fill that little Connect card out. You can bring it to me in the Home Life Center in just a moment, or leave it right where you're at. I'd love to help you take a next step. But let me give you a blessing. The wildest parts of you can be tamed and used for good by the Lord Jesus Christ. Come under His control. And let Him lead you. Follow Him. And as you do, gentleness will be developed in your life. May you experience that this week as you live for Him. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Zion, why don't you close us out, friend?
Thank you, Pastor David. Man, gentleness. This message really spoke to my heart. And one of the things I noticed in my life growing up, I noticed that I'm less gentle to the people I'm close with, especially to my family. You know, sometimes to my youngest brother, I would ask him to do something, and when he doesn't listen or he doesn't do what I ask him to do, I would get mad, and sometimes I would say things that are not, you know, that are not nice. And I know it's not right, and I know I shouldn't say those things. And there was this one time when my brother and I, we were alone, and my parents went somewhere. And I was busy, I was doing something, and my brother was watching TV. And because I was doing something, I was busy, I called him, and I asked him to do something for me. But instead of, you know, doing it right away, he was like, he said to me, "Why don't you do it yourself? Why are you asking me to do it?" And I was like, "What?" And so, you know, again, I asked him, I called him and asked him to do this or do that. And then he said, "No, why don't you do it?" So I asked him, I think three or four times. And it came to a point when I got really mad. He was at the living room, sitting down, watching TV. I got so mad. I went to him, and I saw the TV. And because I was angry, I kicked the TV. And it just fell on the floor, broke. And then, because, you know, I allowed my emotions to get to me, I grabbed him, you know, by his shirt. And I just shouted, "What's wrong with you?" You know, I looked like I was going to hurt him, but thank God, you know, I didn't do anything. You know, I didn't hurt him. But that time, when I saw his face, I saw he was scared. And I came to my senses. I was like, "What did I do?" You know, I just shouted and just broke the TV and just yelled at my brother. And I just saw he was like really scared. And I was like, wow, I couldn't believe that I just did that. And I know he was shocked when I did that. And so I just left him. I didn't know what to do. You know, but I knew I had to talk to him. And I knew at that moment I had to do something, you know, in me. And the Lord just spoke to me at that time. He just convicted me. And he made me realize, you know, what I did was wrong. It was sin. And he made me realize that I had this anger in my heart. And I knew that I had to give it up to him. I knew I had to give it to God and give it under his control. And so it was hard. I was looking at my brother. I was thinking, what have I done? And so at that moment, I just humbled myself before God, and I asked him, "Lord, just take this away. I don't want this anger in my heart. I don't want to live like this." So I asked him, "Lord, take this away." I just, that moment, surrendered my heart to him. And I just asked for forgiveness. And I went to my brother that same day, and I just really came to him, and I just really asked for forgiveness. I apologized. And I said, "Sorry, what I did was wrong, and it's not pleasing to the Lord." So right now, if you're here, and if you need gentleness, you know, are you struggling with something? Do you have anger in your heart? You know, gentleness, it will really, you know, it will really affect people. It will nurture relationship, you know, just like what we learned from the message. And if you're struggling with something, you just have to come to God and just surrender that thing, surrender that anger. If you need more love, if you're struggling with love, if you're not caring, if you're, you know, your speech, if you need to work on your speech, like the way you talk, if you're blunt, you know, just go to God and surrender it to Him. And you know what? He's going to change you. And that's what He did in my life. When I surrendered to God, Lord, I said, Lord, I just give this to You. I don't want this in my life. And He, by God's grace, slowly worked in my heart and changed me. And from that day on, when I talk to my brother and when I tell him to do something and doesn't listen, now I just saw myself. I don't get angry anymore. I just, you know, I approach him. I talk to him in a nice, gentle way, in a loving and caring way. And it just changes. It's just, you know, it's just so different when you talk to someone with love and gentleness. And, you know, now I have a better relationship with him. And while I was preparing for this, I just called my brother. And it just, because I was like, you know, doing this, and it just affected me. So I was like, I need to call my brother and like to apologize to him. And so I called my brother and I told him, how are you doing? And I just told him, you know, I miss you. And I asked him, do you remember what happened when, you know, when I kicked the TV, when I got mad? And he was like, no, I don't remember that. And I was like, what? How can you not remember that? And I was just thinking, wow, maybe that was the Lord, you know. And I'm glad he doesn't remember it. And but again, the Lord just worked in my heart and in my life and just, you know, changed that and removed that anger in me. And for all of us here, all we have to do, if we're struggling with something, we just have to go to God and surrender it to Him. And He will do great things in us. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.